Pablo, one question from the game before we get to the end of the season. A lot of times when you're starting 11, you rarely change the lineup when things are going really well. You know, a team wins, gets shut out, whatever. You change the order of the penalties from the second game to the third game, even though everybody had made them in the second game. I was wondering what your logic and your thought was there. I didn't get that after the game.
Yeah, so I think to throw a different it's easy to read cadences. When you go back and you watch review tape as a goalkeeper, is you expect this and you expect that and you expect that. So the idea with the change in players is that it adds a different element to the opposing goalkeeper versus our guys. For as far as our guys, it's a PK. And then as far as Danny going in there, Danny's been trained really good the week before the game. And again, buried every penalty with conviction. And again, it was the moment. And the ball hits the post, and instead of going in, it squirts right back to him. So yeah. That's the thought.
Was there any reason for taking Demir out of that?
Well, it was Danny going in. It wasn't. I think in hindsight, it's all, we could do it all over again. I think the thought with Danny is you're putting a striker that led the team in goals 12 yards from goal.
As far as the big picture stuff, what do you think the club needs to do better than 50 points next year, to be higher than fifth place, to go deeper in the playoffs?
I think we need to continue to, you know, build on season after season. I think if you ask every team in the West, how do you get to the playoffs 3 years in a row, there won't be a good answer from any of them, right? So to think that life is an upward trajectory, to think that every season is going to be better than the next, obviously that's what we aim for. And we've talked about this incessantly over the years, is that there's processes. And what you're trying to do on every side of the ball and in transition is gain 2 to 3%. You know, and I think a big part of it for us this year, I think we're in a great run of form. We lose Pablo Ruiz, right? And I think for us, it's analogous to Houston losing Herrera. They're not going to be in the same run of form. So when you're talking about how do you get to 50 points, there's so many variables that influence that, that it's impossible to say. And so what you do is you go to the controllables, which is incremental improvement in every phase, get your best players on the field, and have your best players playing their best, and that will optimize your chances of exceeding the 50-point level.
Elliot, from a front office perspective, when you look at how to make the team better, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think it's our job to improve the roster every single year, and to constantly be looking for improvements all over the field. There are one or two spots that we have targeted to, you know, to improve and to bring in, you know, to bring in some new bodies. And so we'll do that. But I also think it's, you know, it's about having some belief as well in the group that we have. We made a lot of deliberate decisions this year to bring in young players with potential. And guys that we felt possessed the attributes to succeed, not just short term, but to continue to grow and become more and more influential long term. And so it's about putting those players in the right positions to continue to do that and continue that development. You know, you saw it over the last 15, 18 months with Diego Luna. You know, Diego came in last year as a really young guy with a lot of potential, and it took him some time to find his feet and really find the level. You know, he was a guy that in 2022 had some moments and did some good things for us, but you know, really didn't hit his stride and really become the influential player he is today until this year and even the latter half of this year. So, you know, I think that's one example of of kind of the process that it can take for a young guy like that. And we have a handful of young guys like that, all of whom, you know, are at different kind of stages of that development and acclimation. So I think that's a part of it. You know, we also brought in a guy like Chicho this year, and Chicho came in and did a phenomenal job for us. But the reality is he came in the summer window and wasn't with us the whole season. And so I think what we expect from a guy like him is going to be even greater when he's got a full year with the group, when he's got a full preseason, you know, all of those things. So, so yes, we will be looking to, you know, improve a few spots, but we're also looking for a lot of internal development and internal improvement. And that, you know, that process of the group coming together as well. So, you know, I think it's all of those.
Pablo, to his point about young guys coming in and you know their potential, but they can't be that guy day one when they show up. What did you think of the progress that Andres Gomez made over the course of his time here?
Yeah, I think he came in a good way, and he showed a lot of excitement. And then I think there was a point in the middle of the season where the adaptation piece, as Elliot referenced, you know, being away from home, living in a new country, the standard mode of operation within a club in America is different than it is in Colombia. And he went through a bit of a rough patch in the middle of the season. But I think what you saw in the last few games was a guy that was committed on both sides of the ball, and that was a big ask for him against a difficult team. And I think he expressed himself in the right way. Had a great opportunity in that third game to score one, which he typically does in training. And so you see a good foundation moving into next year for Gomez. I think he knows what to anticipate as far as the speed of the league, the defenders that are in front of him, and now it's really polishing. Decision-making when we're in our build phase, being a little bit more simple. I think his runs have improved, but we need to continue to work on that. And then just getting in front of goal is another area where I think he's proficient at the training level and now needs to parlay that into the game. But again, I think to Elliot's point, we talk about development. Sometimes it's just 6 months, sometimes it's 2 years, sometimes it's 6 years, and sometimes it's just never. And that's the reality of life. It ain't going to always work out. But to have a guy like Luna really cut his teeth this year and be a leader, not just to cutting his teeth and produce, but a leader on the field on both sides of the ball. And, you know, he just shared with me, he's, and I don't know if it's, did he share with you about the January thing? Are you guys going to?
Yeah, I don't think it's public. But.
Okay. Well, then we just won't make it public. But anyways, he's hitting some great milestones as a young guy. You know, and I think there's other guys like, Ojeda, who's shown some glimpses of like really, really top level stuff, but struggles to maintain that day in and day out. And that's called lack of experience, right? Because consistency is synonymous with experience. And that's why you pay for experience. But I think some of the tough moments that we go through as a team, having some young players on the field at times now, will pay huge dividends in the future because these guys have the potential to be world-class players.
Danny Masalski's talked to us and talked about he thought his time away from the club had the exact opposite impact he hoped it would have, and although he said he was very happy here, he didn't think he was wanted by the front office and ownership. Is that accurate?
Look, I think the Danny situation... the situation with Danny this year played out obviously very publicly. There were a lot of conversations, a lot of dialogue, but it became something that, you know, played out in the public eye. As far as, you know, Danny's future, you know, I think we'll keep that to ourselves and keep those conversations internal. Danny did a lot of really positive things for us, though. We brought him in last year because we believed in him and believe in him and in his qualities. As Pablo said, he was one of our, across all competitions, one of our leading scorers this year. So did a lot of really good things for us. As far as what the future holds, you know, we'll see.
Just on that same note, can you just maybe talk a little bit more about, from your perspective, what unfolded in those few weeks when he was away from the team, and from your perspective, why that happened in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had had a, you know, a long running dialogue with Danny and I guess more, you know, his representatives about a longer term agreement. We hadn't been able to come to an agreement. And you know, Danny felt it was in his best interest to make a decision to, you know, step away at that time. It's something he's obviously well within his rights to do. He then made the decision that he wanted to come back and spoke to Pablo, spoke to the group about it and came back and was a part of the group the rest of the year. And to his credit, a really positive contributing part of the group. So, you know, I won't go into too many more details, but yeah, that's, you know, that's the gist of it.
What is your reaction to him saying that he doesn't feel wanted by the club though?
Look, I mean, obviously I wasn't in here. We brought Danny in here. You know, we targeted Danny as a player that we wanted to have here. So, you know, a lot of different things play out, and you know, sometimes these conversations, you know, and these contractual negotiations can seem a little adversarial. They're actually not. They're not. I mean, it's by their nature they can feel that way on both sides at times. But it certainly is nothing personal with Danny. I have a lot of respect for him and him as a professional. So, you know, I don't have a whole lot more to say about, you know, that specific comment than that.
Do you have anything to say about what Demir's future with the club might look like?
You know, we had a really good conversation with Dami yesterday, and we'd like Dami to be a part of this group, and we want to be a part of this club for a really, really long time. So, Dami is, it goes without saying, the importance he has held within this club and within this locker room and you know, to Pablo and the staff and to myself and our staff. You know, Dami's one of the most professional, positive leaders I've ever been around in my life. And so that's the kind of guy that you need day in and day out. So I guess the answer is we'd love to have Dami here. You know, we hope to have Dami here next year.
Elliot, you mentioned Diego Luna's development over the last 15 or 18 months, and obviously the last, you know, 4 or 5 games of the season, he was on a just kind of on a tear, just like on an objectively good run of form. And you know, a lot of times when that happens, especially with younger players, people are going to try to poach him. Right, and I know that he's under contract for a couple of years here still, but you're going to have to field those offers and understand that like other people may want him. How difficult do you think it is, given his youth, his talent, and his run of form right now, how difficult is it going to be to keep him, do you think?
Look, it's nothing new. Anytime you have good players, people are interested in those players. I view it as obviously a huge positive when we have people reaching out about our players. How difficult is it going to be to keep him? I mean, he's under contract for several more years. We have a say in that situation. Diego's a player with an incredibly bright future. I think we all saw that this year. We saw what he can do and the impact that he can have. There may come a time when that's, you know, at a club that's not Real Salt Lake. We'll see. But I certainly expect that in 2024, that it's going to be at Real Salt Lake, and that impact is going to continue to grow and be even bigger than it was this year. And that, honestly, that will put Diego in a better position. It will put Real Salt Lake in a better position. You know, it will put American soccer in a better position. So I don't – having had a lot of dialogue with Diego as well, I don't anticipate it being really hard to keep him here.
And a lot of guys came in here today and said that it's their opinion that this team, roster-wise, has enough to win silverware, which obviously everybody wants. Do you agree with that, and why or why not?
Yeah, I mean, do I agree that we have the talent to win something? Absolutely. I think we do. I think it's really hard to win something. And, you know, certainly not excuses, but as Pablo pointed out, there are so many different factors and so many variables that go into winning silverware. You know, I actually had this conversation with somebody the other day, and I looked back at between, I would say, 2010 and 2013, this was the best club in Major League Soccer. We were a contender every single year. You know, we competed for trophies every single year. Do you know how many trophies we won in that period? Zero. Does it mean we weren't talented enough? No. Does it mean that we fell short in some key moments? Yes, it does. And so there were failures in key moments, but I wouldn't say that those teams were a failure, if that makes sense. I think taking that back to this year, you know, there was – I don't remember which player I talked to in the last 2 days about it, but – you know, made a really astute point that, you know, there was one week this year where we were competing on, you know, for three trophies and realistic competitors for three trophies at that point. And within 5 days, we were out of two of them. And again, you can look back and you say, you know, we fell short in some key moments. You know, we went on the road and lost to LAFC in the League's Cup, and then, you know, went on the road and lost a semifinal to Houston in extra time and got knocked out of the Open Cup. If a couple things break a little differently in either one of those games, you know, then we're in a final, or not the LAFC one. I mean, obviously, there would have been another game or two, but you know, we're close to competing in a final there. We're competing in a final for the Open Cup if that game goes our way. You know, we lost on penalties in the playoffs. These are all things that happen on a razor's edge. And I think what I'm going to look at the glass half full part, and it's that this is a roster and this is a group and this is a staff that is absolutely talented enough to win trophies. But sometimes you have to learn how to win. And maybe what we needed in some of those moments were those little failures to learn what it takes next year. You know, next year in that semifinal, do we now know what it takes to walk away with, you know, with the win? Look, I know we lost in penalties in the first round last year, so it's a little harder argument for me to make with the playoffs. But, you know, one of those breaks our way, and we can go on a run there. By the way, we'd be hosting the next round and with a chance to go to a conference final. So I guess what I'm saying is unequivocally, I think this group is talented enough to win trophies. But the fact that we didn't doesn't mean that it's, you know, a clear failure on you know, another side of it, if that makes sense.
Hey, Elliot, thank you for your time today, by the way, both of you.
Yeah, no problem. I just gave you about 15 minutes of blabbering, so I apologize.
No, that's totally fine. Obviously, bringing in players means that there's some guys that need to kind of make space. Should we expect to see some players sold or let go of in this offseason?
There's always movement. I think we're going to see less movement out than we have at times in the past. And I think, you know, part of that is because this is a long-term project. And a lot of the players that we've brought in have been with the long-term, you know, with multiple seasons in mind, and we are committed to that. So, certainly we'll see some movement in and out. There always is, but I don't expect, you know, as much movement out as kind of past years potentially.
I'm gonna try and let you guys breathe a little bit now with some maybe not so hard hitting questions to grill you. Pablo, I was looking at the roster for the last several games and noticing kind of the age of the guys. There's a lot of young guys in the starting lineup on the bench, even with the Monarchs as well. What are some of the pros of having such a young team going to the 2024 season?
That they're going to have one more year of experience. Just, I mean, really, I think what the idea of young players is that you're going to have a really experienced group that may be young in age, but have a wealth of experience to physically endure a league like MLS. From a culture perspective, I think these are the guys that are hungry to learn from the experienced players. It brings a great environment to training every day, a competitive environment. And I think their youthfulness adds pep to everything that we do, and it keeps all of us young, especially guys like myself that are getting older. And so I think they're a real pleasure to have around. And from a coaching perspective, they're actually the guys that listen intently, right? Because they're trying to gain the experience, and so their eyes are big, and they're really easy to kind of mold at this age. And again, when you're talking from a cultural and you know the kind of team that we want to be, it's important to have guys that are willing to go the extra mile for the group, and you'll often find that in young guys.
Thanks, Pablo. Elliot, I think the fan base was for quite some time spin, and I know there's a lot of logistics that go into it, but they've been clamoring for players who brought in money to be spent. And this year, there was a lot of that, a lot of money spent. Can you talk about how satisfied or how happy you were with the players that the team brought in and their development throughout the season?
Yeah. You know, I think it's a testament to, you know, to our new ownership group. They, you know, they came into this year, you know, willing to commit significant resources to improving the roster. And willing to work with us, you know, in the front office and the coaching staff on what type of profiles and what, you know, what type of players we wanted to look for. And I think we were able to check a lot of the boxes that we were looking for. You know, I think obviously Chicho's the biggest name and you know, the biggest, certainly the biggest investment. And, you know, Chicho came in, I said, you know, as I said earlier, mid-year and was phenomenal. And I think he did the job on the field. And you guys see that every single week that he produced and he changed the way we played. But to me, what was most impressive was what he did day-to-day on the training field and what he did you know, off the field in terms of his leadership and his character and, you know, the way that he raised the level, for the entire group. So, you know, Chicho, I kind of put off, not off to the side, but Chicho's kind of the one guy that we brought in like that. There, you know, the rest of the players we invested in heavily, you know, guys like Andres Gomez, Nelson Palacio, Brian Vera, even Brian Ojeda, who we brought in on loan last year, but made the investment, you know, the permanent investment in this year. Those guys all fit a slightly different, you know, bucket of player. And that is, you know, a younger guy, although all of them with pretty good experiences, for their age. You know, I think they're all between what, 20 and 24 years old. You know, Vera and Ojeda have both gone to Europe and had that experience and understand a different country, a different league, all that kind of thing. And then came back, and then the other two, guys who played really, really significant roles for major clubs in their home country in Colombia. Those guys all fit a slightly different mold, and those are kind of, I think what we talk about when we're saying guys that came in and had a real impact and a positive impact this year. But I think we believe that impact is going to be even greater in 24 and 25 and beyond. Those are just the financial investments, but not to mention some of the other guys, some of the other guys that we were able to bring in, the Diego making the leap that he did, Emeka Anelli came in and a guy, a draft pick who stepped in and played really significant role in multiple positions on the field and kind of became an indispensable part of the group by the end of the year. So, lots of positives. Feel really good about all of them and where they're headed.
Thanks, Elliot.
Yes.
Elliot, have you had any conversations with ownership about your role, your contract going forward?
No. I mean, I'll keep those conversations, internal, but, we're here, we're doing our job every single day. So that's the vote of confidence we need.
This one's for kind of both of you, but the next time we see you, I think you'll be sharing both this space and the stadium with the Royals. What are just kind of your thoughts as you've seen so far with their return, and then kind of your expectations going forward on what their impact is going to be on the community and just on soccer, I guess, here in the area?
I mean, my first thought is, why aren't we going to see you for the next couple of months? What's up with that? No.
I imagine you might not be in Utah for some
reason. We'll see. You're probably right. I kid, but it's really exciting. It was a lot of fun when we had the Royals before, and obviously for many reasons we don't need to discuss here, they left. But we were always excited to be able to bring them back and to be a part of it and to watch that, because like you said, it's a really important piece of the soccer culture, not just in our community, but nationally and internationally. You saw the Women's World Cup this year, and again, it's not a sport, but a segment of the sport that continues to grow and grow and grow, and is so exciting for such a significant part of the population, and we're thrilled to be a part of it, and to be able to contribute to that growth.
Yeah, no, I mean, I obviously wasn't here when the Royals were in town last, but I had an opportunity to spend some time with Amy. She shadowed our coaching staff for a good part of the season and was around. And I think just her excitement and exuberance about bringing the team back and what that could potentially mean to the community, all the young girls that aspire to be professional soccer players. I know that was a big thing for me growing up, and I was probably semi-pro at the time. But I was a ball boy, and just having these players that are doing what I dream to be doing, I think is going to have an enormous impact on the growth of soccer in the community and nationwide.
And then this last one, just for you, Pablo, but as we enter another offseason, what, and maybe speaking kind of more personally or existentially, to like what keeps bringing you back for another season as coach?
I think it's what, it's what we talked about earlier. It's winning silverware and understanding that I don't think it's whimsical, but I do think you need a lot of fortune. Some of the things that we set out this year as a club was obviously to improve in the Open Cup, and I think we made a good run. And again, you go back and you assess those games and you think about the players in that game, the way we were set up in that game, and knowing Houston now a little bit more personally than I think we'd like, you go back and reflect and you think about how do I take those games and parlay that into our performances moving forward in a competition style moment, but also in the course of a regular season. You know, I think Leagues Cup was a new experience for myself, as, you know, I've played, you know, I've coached against international teams, but never in a format like this where you get to see the Mexican teams up close. And that was a great experience. And obviously we got out of the group stage and beat León, which was fantastic. And now it's really about taking that next step in that tournament. And then in league play, I think it's every year. I mean, and this is what I alluded to earlier, is you think the trajectory is always going to be like this. And I think that is the death of a coach's mindset, to think that you assume that just because you got this far this year, you're going to go like this next year. It's not how it works. You got to break everything down. And obviously you don't have to break it down as far because the majority of players are coming back, but you got to start again, identifying who you want to be, the mentality you need to have, style of play that you want, what your game model look like. And you're tweaking all those things, and you're trying to figure out, it's like a race car driver. This race, we need to do this. We got to do that differently. Our brakes need to be a little bit tighter. And I think that's what drives me, is the you know, the quest for the cup is what drives all, you know, I think all of us coaches. And I think how we do that is making sure that we have a good process in place to be able to have checks and balances along the way, but it's essentially winning trophies.
Justin Glad gave a long, at times passionate and detailed response, asked about the importance of consistency across a roster, a coaching staff, and a front office. And he comes from the perspective, he's been with the club for more than a decade, 4 coaches, 3 GMs, 2 owners. You guys have slightly, well, you've been here a little time, actually, LA, probably have a little different experience, but I'd just be curious, could you describe the importance of consistency as one of the building blocks towards the bigger goal of getting silverware? What does it matter to you?
Yeah, I think I have a unique perspective. You know, from a player's point of view, I think it's comforting knowing what to anticipate, which could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing, right? If it's so predictable, do you relax a little bit? You know, and so I think everything has its pros and cons. But I think from a player's perspective, consistency in the message and training every day, consistency in the mindset, consistency in the little things that I ask of all of us to do on a daily basis to improve as a group, I think that's comforting, you know, to a player. You know, I think from my side as a coach now, consistency in ownership and front office is, I think it's important to build something that's sustainable. And I think when you're constantly changing, when you're changing things too much, then there really is no way, right? I think consistency is like, you know, where we live in a world where everyone wants everything now, whether it's losing weight, getting strong, or winning a trophy. And the truth is, I think the teams that consistently put themselves in position to win these things over the course of, you know, 4 or 5 years, the likelihood is that you're going to get there in a more predictable way than just a one-off season where you win on a whim. So I think that from both perspectives, that consistency and all that is important for both players and coaches to be able to have something to build on year to year.
Wow, sorry.
I just wondered if
Elliot
could answer.
Yeah, no. I think consistency is critical. I think, you know, as Pablo said, you need a foundation to build upon, and a foundation of experience and both past successes and past failures that you can learn from and you can pull from. So, constantly changing, you know, massive parts of what you do, for me is a recipe for failure, because, you know, if you look at the most successful franchises in sports all over the world, consistency is a common theme in what brings them success. Now, you could certainly, I suppose, sit and argue that the consistency's there because they have the success. But I would say that they have the success because the consistency's there. So, you know, I think it's something that we always keep in mind, that we do need to look, we need to continue to improve all the time. So it's a balance, but having institutional knowledge and a framework to build upon that the core of your group actually understands is critical as well.
How do you want to be a better coach next season?
I want to win something. I want to win something. You know, we go through these postseason interviews, and we talk a little bit about what we see from them. They talk a little bit about their year. And then the last part of it is, how can we help you achieve your individual goals? Because at the end of the day, coaches don't play, and players win cups. And so it's about listening. It's about understanding what they need for themselves to grow as individuals. So we ask about video sessions, how can we improve those? Training sessions, how can we improve those? The culture, how can we improve that? And again, I think, ironically, becoming a better coach requires better listening. Because at the end of the day, you want to put these players in the prime environment for them to be successful. And if the players are successful, that's how you get successful coaches. That's how you get successful front office. And that's how you get successful ownership in a club. But it starts and ends with the players. So they're the most important people at the club. They put smiles on everyone's faces when they win. And when we lose, we all feel terrible, and I take responsibility for it. And so for me, it's always about becoming a better listener. And I think if I can do that and pick up four or five great points from each player and tie that into how we can actually manifest that into real time with 30 players, 30-something players on a roster, then I think I become a better coach.
So maybe piggyback off of that a little bit, Pablo. There's been a common recurring theme throughout all these player interviews. Everybody's using the word unity. Inside the locker room, everybody feels like they're united and supported. There's guys who've been here for a while who say that they feel like this is the most supportive that they have been since their time being here at RS. Like, is that more of a testament to what you just said with building that culture and listening and giving back to the players? Or what do you think attributes to that?
Yeah, I think it's the way we operate. And again, it goes back to the point, you know, if I believe that the players are most important, then I'm going to treat them as such. And again, any club success hinges on the players' performances. And again, we have to be good listeners as coaches. We have to hear them out. There's a million ways to really tackle coaching, but for me, it's I don't do this for the X's and O's. I don't do this for these press conferences. It's, as a matter of fact, it's the complete opposite. Don't do it for the money. I do it because I really care. And the impact that coaches had on me when I was a kid didn't only help me on the soccer field, it helped keep me straight in life. You know, didn't grow up with the most things, grew up in a tough part of town. And if it wasn't for the game and if it wasn't for my mentors and coaches, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so this profession for me is beyond anything financial, economical. It's about humans. And the one thing is, until they passed away, I stayed in touch with my club coach and my college coach, and they were great mentors to me. And I stay in touch with a lot of the guys. You know, I got a text after the game from Sam Crone, and you guys probably don't even know who he is, but I coached him at the latter part of his career. And you know, I think soccer is a microcosm of life. The world is so small, and it's really about, you know, when you find happiness, it's really in those relationships that you build. And so the fact that the players feel unity and they feel loved, I think is a testament to the work that we're all doing at the club to make sure that, you know, these players are provided the best environment for them to be successful.
Elliot, for you, a lot of times in the league, when an interim manager steps in, they don't last with the club as long, right? There's usually some mix up afterwards after completing that first season. Obviously, Pablo coming back for yet another season next year. What can you say about Pablo as to his part in building, you know, what this club is looking to achieve next year and his impact on the culture of the locker room?
Yeah, you know, I think, and I've said this before, I think Pablo embodies the type of character and culture that we want to build on, and that we want to build, not just in the locker room, but in this club. And, you know, Pablo's an exceptional leader. You know, you've probably seen some videos of, you know, of Pablo speaking in the locker room at times. You know, I've seen more of it, and he's inspirational. And he has an incredible ability to bring the group together, to unite the group. You know, we talk about unity and you know, cohesion within a group. You know, he has a fantastic ability to bring a really diverse, you know, multicultural, multilingual, you know, guys of all different ages in that locker room, to bring them all together and unite it under, you know, one cause. And, you know, in these positions, it's really important that the people you work with be people you want to go to battle with, because we're going to have tough times. You know, we're going to go through downs every single year. And you need to have people around you that you trust and that you know you can go to battle with and you can battle with and then go to battle with. And there's, you know, no doubt in my mind, Pablo is that. You know, we're thrilled that Pablo. Pablo continues to do a great job for us.
Thank you.
No problem. Well, you can take me to lunch tomorrow.
I got you.
Sorry. Are you looking to? You're probably not going to answer this, but I want to ask: are you looking to extend him anytime soon?
Look, that's a. Obviously a big conversation and a conversation that goes, you know, beyond me. But, you know, obviously we have those conversations all the time. Yeah.